My name is Kendall Rasnick.
We have been looking at the nature of God. In the past, we looked at the fact that God is unified, God is one. We also have started looking at the idea that God is eternal and He is self-existent. No one caused Him, but He has been here forever and will be here forever. And in our last program, we began to look at the idea of the holiness of God. We saw that it means clean, morally blameless. The word holy means without sin, perfect, morally blameless, and clean. We saw that Scripture makes it very clear that God is holy, both the Father and the Son, and even also, guess what? The Holy Spirit is holy too, of course. He is named the Holy Spirit. So all three members of the Godhead are holy. Today, we want to look at the idea of what does God's holiness really mean to me? It's interesting and encouraging and inspiring to think about perhaps all these different characteristics of God, but we want to try to make it practical on a day-to-day basis and say, what does God's holiness mean to me in my everyday life? I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to notice verse 9. Here, some people have asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus gives, some people call it the Lord's Prayer. In reality, we might call it a model prayer. It's certainly not the Lord's Prayer because in this prayer that Jesus gives, He asks for forgiveness of sins. And since we saw that Jesus was holy, we see that He is without sin. He is morally blameless and He is clean. Therefore, there would really be no reason for Jesus to pray this prayer and ask for forgiveness of sin. Instead, what is happening here is that people are asking Jesus, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus tells them, pray something like this. Use this model as an example. Well, if we look at verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6, we read this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Did you see that? Hallowed. That means holy or sacred. Hallowed ground is a phrase that you may have heard of before. Some people may think ground or area is sacred or hallowed or holy, perhaps. But men are to hallow the name of God because of His holiness. It means holy or purify or consecrate or make sacred, perhaps, is another way of putting it. The point is, when Jesus, even Jesus, who was God Himself, approached the Father, He approached Him in prayer with reverence. Hallowed be thy name. God's name is holy, and we are to treat it as such. Another very important verse is a verse that we looked at in our last episode, Psalm 111 and verse 9. In reference to God, it says, He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. Well, we saw last time that the word holy in reference to God is in this verse. We also want to look at the word reverend. A lot of people use that word themselves and say, I'm Reverend Smith or Reverend Jones or Reverend Wien. It is not really the proper and correct use of that word because that word means terrible. Someone really doesn't want to go around and say, I'm the terrible Mr. Smith or I'm the terrible Mr. Jones. The word terrible here just means as in awesome, terrible. Do you remember in the Old Testament that even the Israelites feared God when He wanted to speak to them or deal with them? They actually may have told Moses, you talk to God for us. We are afraid. This is the idea here that reverend means so terrible and so afraid. And of course, God is awesome and powerful and can cause us to have fear. Not fear in the sense that we would run away from Him and never want to see or talk to Him again, but fear in the sense that we would respect Him and take Him seriously and respect His power. Well, that's what we're talking about here. Holy and reverend is His name. His name should be revered. His name is terrible. His name is holy. We should treat it as such. you also notice that the only place in the Bible where we see the term reverend is actually being applied to God, not to man. This term is never used in Scripture to apply to any man. God and His name are to be treated as holy, clean, morally blameless. We should not degrade His name or take His name in vain. You may have heard that before, even from the Old Testament, the idea to treat God's name with respect. Do not take it in vain. Unfortunately, many people may continue to take His name in vain today and not even realize that they're doing it. They use what we call bywords or euphemisms. These are almost words that really kind of stand in place for the real thing. Words such as golly, G-O-L-L-Y, gosh, G-O-S-H, gad, G-A-D, these are all words that really just reference or refer to God. You can even hear the similarity in some of the words. In that regard, we ask ourselves, should we really use these words? Because every time we do, if we're referencing God, unless we're doing it with the proper reverence and the proper respect, maybe we're ending up taking His name in vain, and we don't want to do that. We want to respect the holiness and the reverence of God. Another phrase that some people may say is goodness or my goodness. But what is the source of all goodness? Where does all goodness come from? Or who is being referenced there, my goodness? Well, it's probably one of those bywords again, one of those phrases that came about originally referencing God. So again, these are phrases that would just be better off to be left alone. These are phrases that we may even unknowingly be taking God's name in vain, and we don't want to do that. So one thing I learned from God's holiness, or one thing that God's holiness means to me, is that I want to hallow the name of God. I want to treat His holiness and His holy name with reverence and respect, and not to take it in vain. If you'll flip over to the book of Romans, we're going to look at chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. One other thing that I learned from God's holiness is that I need to become like God in morality. We said that holiness means morally clean. Well, I learned from the Bible that I'm to become like God in morality. I'm to try and become holy. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We often reference this verse and say, we are to present our lives as a sacrifice to God. God gave a sacrifice of life for us, and we are to live for God, sacrificing our life for Him. And that's true. We are to live our lives for God. But did you notice what kind of life you're supposed to live as a sacrifice? What does it say after present your bodies a living sacrifice? It says holy. In other words, what kind of life should you live for God? One where you're doing anything you feel like, anything you feel like you should be doing, letting your emotions or your pleasures or your instincts just guide you wherever you want? Or should you be trying to live your life holy, morally blameless, and sinless? And of course, how do we learn how to avoid sin and what sin is? We learn it from God's Word. The truth is, we see that God wants a living sacrifice, but not just a life of any style that you decide. He wants a holy sacrifice. In Matthew chapter 5, let's read verse 48. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. There we read, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, we understand that it's impossible for us to be absolutely perfect, but isn't that the goal that we all strive for? Don't we always, as Christians, try to improve ourselves, upbuild ourselves, make ourselves stronger and better than before by reading God's Word and praying and trying to follow the example of Jesus? Well, we don't always make it. We sometimes fall short. But the goal is to live like God in morality, to be holy like He is holy. As a matter of fact, let's look at the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. We often say, Jesus is our perfect example. Well, Jesus was holy, wasn't He? If He is our perfect example, then we need to try to be holy too. We're not going to be perfect, but that's where Jesus' blood comes in to fill in the gaps. We read in 1 John chapter 1 that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then His blood continues to cleanse us and take away our sin. He'll fill in those gaps where we fall as long as we keep striving and struggling and trying to live holy. We want to be like Jesus, who was and is holy. And one last thing we'll mention in today's program that I learned about God's holiness and what it means to me is, since God is holy, morally upright and fair, He will reward man according to man's righteousness. Let's turn over to the book of Psalm, chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 20 through 26. There we read, The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. God is going to reward man according to how he lives, and God, being holy, will always do it fairly. He will reward man who follows God and obeys God with blessings. He will reward man who disobeys God and rebels against God with punishment and separation from God. Well, we understand as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, we're never going to be fully perfect on our own. Sin separates us as unclean from the holiness of God. It was really the sacrifice of Jesus' blood is the only source of cleansing by which we can be made holy and righteous. In Colossians chapter 1, we notice in verse 21 and 22, And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. We can never be fully perfect, but thanks to the blood of Jesus, we can be presented before God holy.